Listen, we're thankful that you're with us today. We're continuing on in our series entitled Unboxing God. We've been looking at the story and the life of Abraham and his journey of faith and how at different times there was opportunity for him to try to place God in a box that he doesn't belong in. And I don't know about you, but there's times in our lives where we can be guilty of doing the same. If you're newer to Life Center, you might not realize, but we are one church that actually meet in multiple locations across the city of Tacoma. We have a campus down in Frederickson off of 176th called Life Center Rainier. You're at Life Center Central right now, but we also have a campus up on the north end called The Sanctuary that is a house of prayer for the city all throughout the week, but also we've been launching house churches from that missions base. And so today we have one of our campus pastors with us, Chad Johnson. He's really no stranger to Life Center Central, but would you help welcome Chad Johnson as he comes to bring the message today?
Thanks, Ty. Appreciate it, man. All right. Good afternoon, Life Center. How we doing? Good? Fired up? Good. All right. Well, my name's Chad, if I haven't met you before, and I was born and raised in Puyallup, Washington, and went to PLU, did college ministry here, and then we were in California for about 6 years. And we came back in 2011 and kind of saw the city in a different light. I don't know how many of you guys have grown up here or been here, but I always thought the city was just a gray city with a lot of rain. And I came back with fresh eyes for it and just saw how beautiful it is and dynamic. If you guys know, Washington was ranked the top state in the nation this week. Did you guys see that? It's pretty amazing. And Seattle, Tacoma is one of the fastest growing places with the economy and everything. And so I got caught in this vision about 6 years ago, this idea of Jesus for the city, Jesus for the 253, and I can't let it go. It's kind of messed me up in a good way, you know, just to think of what would it look like for Jesus to impact a whole community. So 2 years ago, we launched this called The Sanctuary, and when you think of The Sanctuary, just think of an open space for prayer. It's open 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday, 80 hours a week, and it's just a space for people to learn to cultivate that quiet time with Jesus, how to do it, not in a way of just giving your prayer list to God, but like just getting before the Lord and doing what the songs we're singing about today, learning to wait, learning to that he's a loving God. And so it's been great. We've had people from all over the city that have gotten connected. And that's what can encourage you, that there's people who have been planted here, and you might be some of them, that know that they're planted here for something great. And there's been people who have been praying for this city for years and years and years. There's a lady two blocks away from The Sanctuary that was praying for a house of prayer for over 20 years. Didn't have any contact with anyone. And those people have started to gather. And so we're excited about that. And like Tyler said, we're really looking to create spaces for the body of Christ to learn to be the body. And so that's what our house churches are. They're open kind of in different places around the city. Because I want you to know that you're part of the body of Christ if you've said yes to Jesus. And you're a dynamic part of the body. That you're not just here to sit and listen. You're here to contribute and participate. And there's a divine call in your heart for something great. And my heart is, what would happen with the body of Christ to just be unlocked and to be alive and to be functioning in your gifts and your purpose and in your assignment? And so that's my heart, and I hope I share that with you today. But we're going to be looking at the story of Abraham, talking about unboxing God. And really, that's kind of a paradox, because God is never in a box. It's our own boxes that we put in him, right? It's our own perceptions, our own thoughts, our own feelings. And what I found about Jesus is he likes to challenge our boxes. And so we're looking at the story of Abraham. Genesis 18 is where we hit last week. I want to read the beginning of it. It says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and he saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground." And I want to pause here and let you know that these were not just men that came. It says later in the story that two of them were angels, and one of them was the Lord in his midst. And they came, and he recognized that these were divine messengers. And so Tyler shared that story last week about them giving a promise to Abraham and Sarah that by this time next year, you're going to have a child. And that was the box of God. You can't do this. You can't do it. And so it says there, I love this one. It says, Sarah, you know, Sarah laughed while she was in the tent. And then the Lord said, Sarah, why did you laugh? And then Sarah said, was afraid. And she said, I did not laugh. And the Lord said, yes, you did laugh. That's awesome. Like, I love that. Isn't that cool? It's like, he didn't have to like respond again. Like, yeah, you did laugh. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Anyhow, you should memorize that scripture. That's a good one. Put it, like, sign your name and write that scripture and see if anyone looks it up. But so it's an exciting time for them. Like, they are so encouraged that God is going to do the impossible. His wife was barren. They thought, there's no way. So Abraham is, like, so excited and encouraged right now. And now the story continues in verse 16. It says, when the men got up to leave, they looked towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. And so I can just imagine Abraham. When I think about this, I think of the Lego Movie 1. Have you seen that? There's a theme song. Play it, folks. I just am doing this to get in your head, actually. Everything is awesome. Turn it up, Kristoff. Let's get it going. Yes. 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 I am a parent of four kids. I love the Lego Movie. And yes. But everything is not always awesome. But everything was awesome for Abraham. Like, he was so excited. And then all of a sudden, the story turns. And now, he hears this. It says, verse 20, the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. The men turned away and went toward Sodom. But Abraham remained standing before the Lord. And he was probably singing the song of Lego Movie 2. We got it here? Kids need to learn this song too, just for the record.
Everything's not awesome.
Everything's not cool.
I am so depressed.
Everything's not awesome.
Whoa, I think I finally get Radiohead.
Yes. So it's good we teach our kids that everything's not awesome all the time, isn't it? Not everyone gets a participation trophy for life. But this is like Abraham. Like, what do? You just got the best news of your life, and now you're wondering, like, Lord, what did you just say? I thought you came to give me this good message, but now you're telling me that, like, you're grieved about this city. And Abraham had a nephew in the city. His name was Lot. And he had taken care of Lot, and he had basically watched out over Lot because his dad had died, Abraham's brother, at an early age. And so now, this brings us to this week's question of unboxing God. And the thought we have this week is God angry? Is God angry, you know? And we all have to deal with this in our life. When something happens that the Lord starts doing in our life that isn't what we expected, right? You guys been in that season of disappointment, or seasons where he's merciful, but then all of a sudden, like, how do we wrestle with a good God who judges the world? And so the good news is Abraham's story, he starts getting bold before the Lord, which is what we need to learn how to do, but Abraham actually does it for us. And so here's what he says. It says, verse 23, he approaches him, and he starts basically complaining to the Lord. He says, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And I want to pause there. Like, that's the question, isn't it? Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And you might not say that as well or as boldly as Abraham, but don't we all have that question? Like, God, why? Why is there injustice? Why do you deal harshly with some and not others? Why were you merciful with them and not with me, right? How do you view with sin? And this is what I've learned about the Lord is that, and I want to bring out the item of from the boxes, that there's a megaphone. Today's object is a megaphone, folks. It's I love megaphones, by the way, but my grandfather was a football coach, and he would use these all the time, and I would steal them and sound the alarm, and people would look at me and didn't know what I was doing. But we have to realize that, like, our view of God has been tainted, and the megaphones of this world have actually, like, amplified voices and thoughts and patterns in our own minds. And I also like to draw, folks, so I was a football coach. I like X's and O's. It's not ever good drawings, but if you're visual, then just look at the whiteboard. But here's how I kind of have seen it. Here's us. And then we have influences in our life. We have culture. You know, you have news. You got social media. You got whatever, TV, music, whatever, etc. And this culture is literally like megaphones into our minds and in our hearts, you know. And we don't have to go very far, obviously, in the technology age to get information. And it's speaking messages to us. And every message influences our view of the world. It influences our view of ourselves and our passions and what we should do. And also influences our view of God, right? Who he is, what he does. And so not only do we have culture, but I found the stronger influences are the people in our own community, our own circles, if you want to say family, you want to say friends, you know, if you want to say mentors, teachers. And these megaphones are actually louder because these are people that we trust and respect. And when we grow up, this is the paradigm of life that we know, correct? This is our family. This is what we've learned. This is our community. This is what we've heard. And what the Bible says is that we're all lost. All have sinned and fallen short. And so all the messages of our culture and world, we have to discern which ones are true or not, right? We have to discern those messages. Like, what is it? And here's what I found about God is the Lord in his grace. I'm going to draw him today as a big circle, okay? I'll call it truth. The God of truth reveals himself to us, and it starts off here with mercy, right, and grace. And this is, if you want to say the first box, this is salvation. When we realize that the messages in our life, like we're missing something, and then we turn to God and we love this. I remember early on, I loved this idea of grace and mercy because I kind of grew up in a performance mentality of I have to earn God's righteousness. If I do good things, then the Lord will be happy with me. If I struggle, then the Lord will be angry with me. And I didn't understand the God of mercy and grace. And so this is what we enter into. And as we enter into this, God is not just a God of mercy and grace, but God's a God of power, right? Like what Brooke said, God's a God of provision. God's a God of healing, forgiveness. And so what happens in our life to discern the voice of God is we now are challenged with, we either choose to receive, this is us, by the way, second circle, we either choose to receive the reality of who God is in his fullness, in his truth, or we get stuck here and we kind of stop at one of these. And I think there's a lot of the body of Christ that latches on to parts of truth and they say that's the full truth. You guys know what I'm saying? There's denominations built out of that. They take part truth and now that's the truth. Or they take part of theology and that's it, right? There's a lot of people, the God of power. They want to see signs and wonders, power. And then we got those that are like the God of justice. And I would say justice is probably here. And that's what we're experiencing today. Like justice or truth. Like, or I would also say the God of, I don't know. I'll keep working on this a little bit. But the God of, sorry, it's been a long day. The God of justice. So we might like the God of mercy, but now he challenges us, right? He challenges us to move into this and say, I don't want to just be part of your theology, but I am God of heaven and earth. So I'm going to draw you in and I'm going to show you who I am. And that's what he was doing to Abraham. He was saying, Abraham, I've shown you that I'm merciful to you, but I want to show you now my heart for injustice. I want to show you this. And now Abraham could either choose to let it go, say, all right, you go do that. I care about myself. But Abraham actually got close to him, right? He got close to him. And so that's what we're talking about today. How do we discern how God feels? How do we discern God's heart of justice? And the first thing I would say is we have to learn to filter. Filter the noise. We have to filter. Not totally reject. I'm not saying you reject everything that you've heard and learned, but you have to filter it. And you have to create a separation from your paradigms and your understandings to who the Lord is, right? We have to either receive truth and reject lies, or we're just stuck with a bunch of things, right? And there's a lot of people that are spiritualistic that believe Jesus just like they believe whatever, meditation, what they believe in the tarot cards, what they believe in good luck. And what I found is that there's one way, there's one truth, there's one life. And he's leading you out of your own life, out of your own paradigms, into his heart, into his way. And so what God did to Abraham is his first step of filtering happened 30 years ago in Abraham's life. And he said, Abraham, leave your mother and father, leave your country, and go to a new land. So Abraham already had started this filtering process. But there was someone with Abraham, and his name was Lot, and I already mentioned him. But Lot didn't fully filter everything. If you know the story, it said Abraham was journeying, and there was a city named Sodom. And it said that Lot saw Sodom, and he decided to kind of pitch his tent near Sodom. He didn't go in it, but he kind of got near it. And as the story goes, he gets closer and closer to now he's literally in the city of Sodom. He didn't filter any noise. And if you never filter noise, then you have no discernment. So the second thing we need to do, I'm just going to keep it on the screens here. But the second thing is we got to learn to hear his voice. Hear his voice. Lord, what do you say about this? And this is where he had to get to with Sodom. Like, Lord, why? What's your heart? Right? And it says there, 26, the Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole city for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again. So now we start this dialogue where Abraham is not just allowing God to go and destroy a city of Sodom. Abraham is getting close to the Lord. And this is where we have to learn to stay near the Lord. When there's crisis or where there's something we don't understand, we can either back away and kind of just get comfortable to live in the box, or we can press into it, right? You guys know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of people who are religious who never press into those areas that the Lord is challenging them in. But Abraham pressed in, and he kept pressing in, and he said, Lord, what about if there's 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city? And then he says, if I find 45, I won't destroy it. Then he goes through, 40, Lord, no. 30, Lord, no. 20, Lord, no. 10, Lord, no. So now he gets God's heart. He hears his voice. And the Lord says, if there were 10 righteous, I wouldn't destroy it. I don't want to destroy it. And he hears the Lord also say, he says, the outcry of the city is coming before me. Isn't that amazing? So Abraham's question was, aren't you the great judge of the earth? Don't you see? And God said, I see, I hear. Abraham, I hear more than you know. I hear the injustice going on in our land. I care about the injustice. And so when we think of the anger of God, don't think of God being angry just because he's in a bad mood. He's passionate. It says, I was reading a book, it said, the quote was, anger actually is the reaction to injustice. It's our natural response. And we have to trust that the Lord knows injustice. He sees it. He desires mercy. And now we see, what was the sin of Sodom? What did they do so bad? In Ezekiel, it says this. It says, this is the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They didn't help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you had seen. And so we see that there's a God that desires relationship, a God that desires purity and truth. And he says, the sin of Sodom was they were prideful. They were overfed, overconcerned. They were promiscuous, but it was the pride that kept them hard. Are you guys getting that? There was the pride of Sodom. And so Abraham heard his voice, and he could see that God's heart was justice and mercy together. And this is what we need to see, that the Lord is justice. The Lord is also a God who will let us to share in his suffering. No, people don't like this circle, do they? And we see that the Lord wants to draw us in, but we have to learn to hear. And then the third thing we need to do is we need to learn to use our voice. Use our voice. And this is where we get this backwards a lot of times in our life and in our walk with Jesus, is we start using our voice before we've learned to filter the noise, right? And before we've learned to hear God's voice. So we'll just hear something, and we'll just either retweet it or we'll just perpetuate it. And we are quick to like use our megaphones. And the crazy part is, in the world we live in, everyone has a megaphone. Everyone can blast whatever they want to anyone they want, right? And so we have to learn that we need to be quiet first and listen. But after we listen, we do have a megaphone. We do have a voice. We're not powerless, right? We're not powerless. And that's why I love this story, because in the story, the Lord heard the cries of the unbelievers. He heard the cries from Sodom. They weren't following Jesus. They weren't following the Lord. They were the cries of injustice. And it says this numerous times in Scripture, even with the Israelites in slavery. They said, the outcry has reached me. The outcry. Isn't that amazing that God hears the outcry of humanity? It says creation is crying out for justice. So we serve a God that hears the cry of injustice. But then we also need to use our voice. And I want to compare two different voices. One was Lot's voice and the other was Abraham's voice. It said that Lot, when he was in the city, he was there for years. And as the angels went down to destroy the city because of the injustice, they were warning and they were literally calling out for Lot. They said, flee, flee, flee. And Lot had gotten so comfortable because he didn't understand the God of justice, didn't understand that. He had gotten so comfortable that the moment he actually shared with his family, they didn't believe him. It said that they said, hey, get out of the city or God's going to destroy us. And his own future sons-in-laws thought he was joking, right? And I want to tell you guys, friends, that there's a place that when we get too comfortable with the God of mercy and don't understand the God of truth and obedience, that we can lose our sensitivity. And our sensitivity can get seared. And that's a dangerous place to be in. And that there's a voice that we have that we can warn our brothers and sisters. We can say, get out, flee. This is not healthy for you. This is not a good situation, right? And I'm not saying blast it on social media, but I'm saying go as a brother and a sister, right? You have a voice. And also we see there that Abraham had a voice. And I want to focus on that. Abraham, his voice mattered to God. As he was speaking to the Lord, his voice was a voice of advocacy, right? For the righteous. It was an advocacy for Lot. I believe Lot was saved because Abraham stood in the gap for him. Isn't that amazing? He was there. He said, Lord, spare the city, show mercy, right? And the amazing thing is Abraham represents us, but it also represents Jesus. We have an advocate named Jesus who saw the sin of the earth, and he now stands before the Father and he pleads with the Father. He said, Father, I died for it. I took the punishment. Save them. He's always interceding. Are you guys with me? That's amazing. God doesn't want to destroy the world. He wants to save it. But it does say that there's a place we can also stand before the Lord. Now we have a megaphone, and our cry to say, Lord, heal our land. Save our brothers and sisters. Lord, rescue them. Don't show justice, show mercy. That the Lord gives us a megaphone of prayer and a megaphone of advocacy to support. And I would encourage you guys, then that's why we're doing a house of prayer. That's why I believe in prayer. Not because it's a good discipline, which it is, but because I've seen the power of it. I've seen it. And I'm telling you, when you get groups of people to start praying together, something happens. Something stirs. It shakes. It doesn't all make sense to me. But the Lord hears the weak cries of our hearts. 2 weeks ago, I met a friend named John down in Las Vegas. And John was a former inmate. He had gotten arrested for drugs and a lot of other crimes. But the guy who arrested him was an FBI agent who was a believer. And he started praying for John. John didn't want to hear anything, but he kept praying for John. Lord, save him. John, locked up in prison, gets thrown a Bible by a fellow, I think a chaplain, looks at it for 2 weeks. Finally, he starts opening it up. As he opens it up, he just starts coming alive. John, in maximum security prison, gives his life to Jesus. As he's in prison, he starts saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord starts showing him, When you get out, I want you to reach back into this prison. So John starts pursuing that, right? Because of one guy, an FBI agent that prayed for him. And now all of a sudden, John starts opening up an outreach to prisoners. And he starts getting letters in the mail from moms and grandmas just supporting him. And when we were together, I just felt like, I just sensed the Lord said, John, like, the Lord's hearing the prayers of these grandmas and moms. He's hearing the cries of these relatives of inmates. And so those letters you're getting aren't just letters of encouragement, they're letters of prayer. And he got tears in his eyes, like, I know. Literally a year ago, John got to take his very small outreach and he went to Washington, D.C. And he was in the middle of meetings with Jared Kushner and key leaders talking about first steps to have prison reform. A year ago, he literally got the approval from the government to say, what you're doing, John, we want to see it happen all around our country. So he's riding this wave of blessing. And you know why that is? Because there's prayers that are being prayed of grandmas and moms all around our country that are praying and using their voice for their sons and grandmas or grandsons. Isn't that amazing? And I believe that my life and your life, if you know Jesus, is a result of someone praying for you. It's awesome. This morning after the 8:30 service, I had always known in my life when I started rebelling against the Lord, like when I was an 18, 19-year-old, like I always got caught right away, like literally. Everything I did wrong, I got caught, and I actually got led to Jesus by it. And my grandma always said she was praying for me, and I always knew that my grandma's prayers mattered. But this morning, for the first time in my life, I met a gal. I'd never met her before, and she was part of this group of four, and one of them was my grandma. And she told me today, she goes, we would pray for you every day for 30 years. I had never met her before in my life, and I'm just like, Lord, thank you. You hear the cries, you know, that have been prayed. And it wasn't just my grandma. It was a group of two or three. And I would just challenge us today. Like, what God said to Abraham, is there 10 righteous in the city? And there wasn't. The good news is there's 10 righteous in our city. There's 10 righteous in our community. What would happen if we gathered together and prayed for our neighbors, prayed for our friends, prayed for this community? I'm telling you, it just takes a little bit. It does. The weak, broken prayers of the saints are like incense before the Lord. And I would just challenge you today that you have a voice. Use your voice. Filter what you hear. Start hearing God's voice, but use your voice. Don't be silent, please. We need you as the body of Christ. We need you. You are here for a reason. You are here for assignment. And I would just say, don't let the enemy lie about your past. Don't let him lie about the things that you've failed in. We've all failed, and that's why we have a God that saves us and heals us and wipes us away. And he says, don't be condemned anymore, but you're made righteous. You're not like in Sodom anymore. You're like Abraham. You have a near place to the Lord. And if we would realize this, I truly believe we'd see transformation. So can we pray right now? And can I just pray, Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you will ignite our hearts and you will expand our faith, God. Lord, we thank you that you are not just angry and apathetic, God, but you're passionate, you're jealous. You desire all men and women to be saved and to come to know you. And Lord, I pray today, God, that you will teach us how to cry out to you. Teach us, Lord, to contend for those that are in situations that they shouldn't be in. Teach us to contend, God, for our neighbors, for our family, for our friends. God, I pray you stir up prayer in this place. And not only in this church, Lord, I pray for all the churches of the city. That you stir up believers to pray, to contend, God. May we have neighborhoods, God, that are transformed. God, may we have communities that are transformed. God, I pray it happens in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you teach us how to start speaking to you. Teach us how to start contending. And we trust you, God, that you are merciful and you are good. And that you want to spare us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we thank Chad? Man, what an important reminder. You know, I think about the words of John. Many of us, we know John 3:16, but John 3:17 says this, that God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. His plan is salvation. His plan is rescue. His plan is mercy. Yes, he is just towards sin, but he's got a plan and a purpose for you. Revealed in the work that Jesus has accomplished for you. Can I invite you to bow your heads just for a moment? I want to make sure that all of us have a chance to respond to the greatest invitation ever made available. And that's by putting our hope and trust in the work that Jesus has done for us. Again, God so loved the world that he gave his son. Jesus provided for us what we could never provide for ourselves. And today, if you're in a place where you'd say, God, I desire your mercy. God, I desire a fresh start with you. I want to walk out of this place different than the way that I came in. Today, if that's you with heads bowed all across this room, or maybe you're watching online, if that's you, would you just simply raise a hand right now and just say, God, that's me. Today, I desire your mercy. I desire that fresh start. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, hands all across this place. Can we pray this prayer out loud together, all of us? Would you repeat after me? Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. I put my trust in you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation. And help me to follow you all the days of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate all those who made that decision today?